The 2015 Oklahoma State Legislature has approved the ballot initiative HJR 1012, the so-called Right to Farm Initiative. Principal author on the House side, State Representative Scott Biggs of District 51, we had the opportunity to sit down with him and talk about the background, the details of Right to Farm. Representative Biggs, let's talk a little bit about this HJR 1012, Right to Farm. This is something we've really worked on for really, what, 2 or 3 years now?
This has been about a three-year process. You know, the original version was rolled out when I was first elected. It was the first bill I ever filed. We worked on it, never could reach an agreement on some amendments with the Senate the first time around. This time around is a different story. The Senate amendments were fine. The House accepted them, and now we're moving forward.
Now, there were some questions raised. Obviously, had some groups that expressed concerns. You had some of the cities raising questions about farmers being able to pollute water and some of these kind of things. And really, that's not the intent of 1012.
Absolutely not. The pure intent of this bill is to protect farming and ranching in Oklahoma for our future generations. You know, this is about, in November 2016, a chance for Oklahomans to help out Oklahomans and ensure that we have an adequate supply of safe and affordable food in Oklahoma.
Now, as we walk through the process, the first vote in the House was very strong, and really the other two votes, the one in the Senate was very solid, and then final acceptance in the House came back almost as strong as the first vote.
Yes, the first vote in the House was 90-6. The second vote in the House was 85-7. So it was very, very strong as well.
Now, one of the groups that was vocally opposed to this measure, Humane Society of the U.S., they did an email campaign. They were trying to get folks to call lawmakers. They did some TV as well. Did that seem to have much impact on your colleagues?
You know, as far as the legislature went, you know, the phone calls, the TV ads, we had just as many supporting the Right to Farm as we did against it, if not more. Because in Oklahoma, agriculture is one of the key components of our economy. It's a key component of rural Oklahoma, the communities. That's important, and that's what even the Oklahoma City and Tulsa representatives recognize, how important agriculture is to Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And the groups that helped support this through the House was, you know, overwhelming as well.
Now, I know you worked pretty hard from the first time around to this final draft of the proposal as far as kind of crafting language. And it's a little bit different than some of the other measures that we've seen in two other states.
Absolutely. You know, North Dakota's passed a similar bill. Missouri last year passed a similar bill. Our bill's unique. It has two things that they don't. One is it has a safeguard that if we need to pass a law, if there's a compelling state interest, we have that option. The second thing in it is it kind of grandfathered a lot of existing statutes going back December 31st and prior. Because if you think about it, right now, Oklahoma, we're fine. This is a proactive step to help protect farming and ranching. There's no laws on the books right now that have an impact. So that grandfathering clause, you know, puts all those in place, and we get to move forward protecting ag from here on out.
And I heard some of the crop producers and some of the crop related groups express a little bit of concern about something like the castor being an issue of a year or so ago. You know, if you have something like that, does that cover? Can that be covered under the compelling state interest?
Well, you know, you put 10 attorneys in the room, you'll get 11 opinions about what this does. And the castor beans, absolutely, in my opinion, is it a compelling state interest to prevent ricin from being, you know, available to terrorists? Absolutely. But at the same time, we have a statute preventing the growing of castor beans. It's on the books. So the grandfathering clause also covers that as well. So I think the castor bean issue is a non-issue. It's covered on two different bases now.
And the other thing that really seemed to be popping up as much as anything among some of the objections was water issues and whether or not, you know, the farmers could kind of disregard any sort of conventional wisdom and pollute, you know, through soil runoff or whatnot, some of the waterways of our state.
You know, it's kind of comical. You know, when you're dealing with important issues like this, if it's the facts are on your side, the truth's on your side, you spread a lot of misinformation. And that's exactly what happened with this water issue. You know, water quality, drinking water quality set by EPA, the federal government. Nothing about this bill has an impact on EPA. This is a state constitution. It's a state protection for ag and farming and ranching here in Oklahoma. So nothing about this bill has to deal with EPA and water quality.
Right. Putting it into the Constitution, why is that important to you?
you know, if you look at, we have a right to farm statutes. You know, Iowa, for example, had in a statute right to farm. However, the courts have overturned that. If you put it in the Constitution, it makes it more permanent. The Constitution then trumps future statutes. It just is a better way to safeguard and ensure farming and ranching is protecting.
Going forward, you've got it through both bodies. What's the course now?
It's been assigned to Secretary of State. It's been assigned state question number 777. So we're moving forward on the Vote Yes campaign. There's been meetings this week moving forward in the planning stages with, you know, all the ag groups have come together, you know, Farm Bureau, AFR, Cattlemen Association, Pork Council, and some of the crop associations have really come together and seen how important this is for agriculture for Oklahoma. So everybody right now is in the planning stages and moving forward on the Vote Yes campaign.
And so, obviously, a good bit of time because it's not until 2016.
Well, yes, we've got a little bit of time, but it never hurts to start early. You know, we've seen how the groups associated that, you know, oppose this, HSUS, PETA, Sierra Club, the animal rights activist groups, we've seen how they've approached the same bill in other states. So we have a little bit of advantage there. So we're starting early in an effort to combat that a little bit.
Okay. You know, at the end of the day, if this is adopted by the vote of the people, becomes part of the Constitution, what do you believe this does for somebody that wants to farm and ranch, not you and I, but the next generation or the generation after that?
What this does is it prevents outside interest groups from coming to Oklahoma and telling us how we need to farm and ranch. You know, Oklahoma is the gold standard when it comes to, you know, our FFA organizations, our 4-H organizations. The Youth Expo, for example, the world's largest youth-organized livestock show. I mean, Oklahoma is the gold standard that other states try to copy. What this does is it prevents outside interest groups from coming in and telling us how we have to show the animals, how we have to raise the animals, how we have to farm and ranch. This person a permanent protection in the Constitution for farming and ranching for my children, you know, my grandchildren, you know, future generations. If it's in the Constitution, it's moving forward.
Okay.